This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
All right, so for today, Saturday, I'm going to do Nintendo Switch for my boot process. I look back, I did all the other ones. The only thing I haven't done from the Nintendo is the Nintendo Switch. Switch Lite and then the Switch OLED, which is basically the same thing. Although, we'll check. So, let's go to my buddy here. So I'm going to do Oh, you know what else we can do? I know what I'll do. I'll do handhelds. I forgot about handhelds for Nintendo. So let's do Nintendo Switch first. Boot process. And then we can double back to like Game Boy and all those. Yeah, let's do that. That'll be fun. Okay. So Nintendo Switch boot process. We'll start with that. It's multi-stages. So we'll see what kind of system it is. And as everybody else is, we're all excited to see what the next. I want a Switch box, which is a dedicated system. You put your Nintendo Switch cartridges into a dedicated system for your console, for the TV. Not a handheld. Not a handheld fan. I like handhelds, but I just can't play them that long. And if you know the Nintendo Switch, the handhelds, they don't last. They are not durable at all. Even the newer ones, between the screen and the buttons and the Joy-Con buttons breaking. The push-in button. They should never design a button to push in like that because they just fail. Kids just jam them in when they're really running through a system. And then that button fails. Even same with, what else has a push-in button? A lot of the handhelds have that. One of the actions is when you push the button in. And it just wrecks them. The Joy-Con, themselves are just really, really junk. They just don't last. Especially for kids. And Nintendo Switch, I was really, really into them. Maybe a year after they came out, I had hundreds of them. Hundreds and hundreds. And I fixed a lot of them. A lot of them, if the battery is dead, you might get lucky. And if you switch the battery, it'll come back to life. Many times, as the charging chip goes, there's a memory chip in there or something that goes. And other things. But I've sold every board I've ever had for Nintendo Switch, either working or not. I've got some screens left over. Empty screen to put in. And I still have all kinds of fun accessories. I still have two boxes of fun accessories. Meaning pieces of the neon green Joy-Cons, like the shells, and I got some buttons. I don't have a Switch now. I have a back of Sierra that I got that has all pretty much most of the newer Switch games, including Tears, but I've yet to really play it. You play it on your PC, so the mod you can get any game pretty much. All right, so let's go to Nintendo Switch, the boot process here. This will be fun. Should be complicated, but it. So, when you power it on, there's a Tegra X1 system on chip. So it's called a Tegra X1. And then the onboard PMIC power management. The boot ROM is ready, selecting the embedded memory on the SoC. Performs a hardware check, initializes low-level hardware like the RAM and the eMMC. wonder how much EMMMCs on it. Primary bootloader is called Horizon OS Stage 1. These are things I would never know until right now. Boot ROM verifies the integrity of the bootloader using chirographic signatures. RSA/SHA-56. Warm boot chain loads warm boot payload in the system. It's assuming it's for sleeping. So the second stage is stage loader 2 using the Horizon OS kernel. Kernel being the system firmware. It initializes the trusted execution environment, TEE. The e-fuses on the chip are checked to ensure the system isn't tampered with. So it has some fuses on the chip, the Tegra chip. Horizon kernel initialization. It initializes the RAM, goes through the in and out graphics driver. Sometimes these get logo stuck too. I wonder if it'll say what that does. I assume it's a failed boot of some kind. Joy-Cons are activated and interacted. Game cartridge checks for Wi-Fi. So I would assume the next generation, I hope it's not another Nintendo Wii. I mean, another Nintendo Switch, rather. Not like a Switch, I hope it's something completely different. Like going from N64 to GameCube, that was cool. And then from GameCube to Wii, and then Wii U is basically the same thing. But hopefully it'll be something dramatically different. And I hope it's TV-based and not handheld-based. Because the handheld's for everything now. So, all right, so we're at interaction here. Loads the game's key technical aspects. This has a NVIDIA Tegra platform. Used a trusted platform module, TPM. Recovery mode. RCM, used for firmware updates and diagnostics, custom firmware, exploits, vulnerable in older models, allowing injections of unsigned code during the boot ROM and RCM stage, enabling custom firmware loading. So that's why everyone wanted the early models of it. So let's go to, I'm sure there's really much of a difference, but we'll go to Nintendo Switch Lite boot process. Let's see if there's anything different there. It doesn't say what kind of like memory is in that. Oh, now I get this. It gives me two responses. The boot of process is similar to Nintendo. The Switch Lite uses a newer version of the Tegra X chip, so it's called the Tegra X which improved the power efficiency and migrates those vulnerabilities. The Tegra Marico powers on, has the RAM. So that's really the only difference, I think. Something about e-fuses. Protects burn with unique chirographic keys on it. Prevent unsigned code. So that's how they try to get. So you don't. I've never had a homebrewed Nintendo Switch. Never tried to do it either. And I've, unfortunately, as technology gets better, all these older systems, which actually Nintendo Switch is old now, they always find a way to get in there. And then there's also tons of mods for them. So there's no reason to rush out and try to get one now. Cold boot, warm path. Is it cold boot, warm path splash? Horizon OS system. Not really seeing anything. Game detected. What is the specs? I want to find out what the specs are for that one. What are the specs? Didn't really give me of Nintendo Switch. What are the specs? They didn't really give me a detail on that one. So I also signed up for Gemini Advance, which is called Flash. ChatGPT is my Zippy. I've always called him Zippy since I started doing it. And Flash was already named for Gemini. So, by Zippy and Flash now. So, Nintendo Switch, we kind of backed up here for a minute. Had the Switch Lite, and then the Switch OLED. It came out in 2017. Here we go. Now we got some good specs. NVIDIA Tegra X AR ARM Cortex-5 A57 plus Cortex-A53 Maxwell CPU in those. It's 4 gigabytes of DDR4 RAM, 32 gigabytes of eMMC, expandable up to 2 terabytes. All right, so this the resolution was 1280 times 720. Handheld was at 720. Dock, it can dock up to 180. But none of these are Bluetooth 4.1, USB-C. Then the Nintendo Switch came out next. Oh, cool. It did all three of them for me. Awesome. NVIDIA Tegra X1, the Mariko Vision version, more power efficient. 4 gigabytes of RAM still, 32. The pixels, 1280 by 70. 720, I think that was the same as the other one, right? 1280 by 720. Yeah. So now we should go handheld 720. No dock mode, it's only handheld. So that changes that. And if you want to change the buttons, we talked about pushing in buttons and on those switches. Changing the buttons in the Nintendo Switch Lite requires a complete teardown on one side. And it's usually the side that the button gets broken. It's a complete nightmare. You can do it, but it's a nightmare. Okay, so then OLED came out in 2021. And as we know, it's so far, it's been our last system. So this NVIDIA Tegra X1, the Mariko version. 4 gigabytes of LPDDR RAM. However, now this one upgraded to 64 gigabytes of eMMC, expandable to 2 terabytes. The resolution isn't any different. 128 by 72 pixels. I thought it would be type OLED captivated touchscreen. Docked at 180. It's really the only difference there. Key differences. Oh, here we go. Key difference between the models. The original was 6.2 LCD. The light went down to 5.5 LCD. And then the OLED went up to 7 inches OLED. Light is handheld only. Storage original and light were 32 gigabytes. The OLED was 64 gigabytes. Light has the smallest battery capacity. OLED offers the longest playtime due to power efficient display and updated SoC. Okay, so let's go way back. Let's go back to, how about Nintendo Game Boy? Right, that would be the first one, right? So we'll stick with these. The other thing I want to learn about here are the Steam handhelds and the ASUS handhelds. I don't know anything about those. They're really expensive. It's a lot. They look like fun. The Nintendo Game Boy boot process is straightforward. Here how it works. Turning on voltage regulator ensures the stability. So in the, we're going all the way back now. Because I finished with Switch, so I have nowhere else to go but backwards. Which is sometimes more fun in the past than in what's coming up. So.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Z80-based CPU, RAM and VRAM. The Game Boy includes a 256-byte boot ROM, also called the bootstrap code. Pretty fun. Again, instead of reading all of it, I'm just kind of breezing through some things. CPU starts executing the program at address 0x0100 in the cartridge. The game code initializes graphics processor PPU and has an audio processor APU. I have a bunch of Game Boy Advances all taken apart, and there may actually be Game Boys in there. So with that note, I'm going to play around with those as a video a little bit. They don't work, but we'll see. Alright, so the Game Boy process is consistent across its variants, so it's already telling me. Game Boy Pocket, Game Boy Color. Though the Game Boy Color includes an extended boot ROM, so Game Boy Color, I actually have one for sale. And it's got some sort of an EverDrive thing for it, with additional features for detecting and running color enabled games. Alright, so let's go to Nintendo. So Game Boy again. Let's go Nintendo. Next in line would be DS, right? Game Boy Advanced. How about Nintendo Game Boy Advance. Game Boy Advanced. There's a couple different styles to those. I've got some of those listed there. Some of them actually work, but I just found a plug for it, so I can go back and retest them. Nintendo Game Boy Advanced boot process. Yeah, so we'll tie this right into a video for later. That sounds like fun. Alright, so GPA is more advanced than the predecessor, the Game Boy. Obviously, the games were used a 32-bit ARM 7 TDMI processor. Powers up begins. System switches to ARM state with 32-bit instructions. The internal work RAM, WRAM, and video RAM, VRAM, are cleared. The Game Boy has 16 kilobytes KB boot ROM. The other one had, what did I say it was, 8 or 12 or something? 8? For the Game Boy, there's a logo screen. Logo, it looks for the game. Passes code address 0x08 with a lot of zeros, 6 zeros after in the cartridge. Backwards compatibility. The Game Boy Advance can also run Game Boy and Game Boy Color games. I didn't know there was only Game Boy Advance games. And it changes to Game Boy mode with Z80 coprocessor. So it downgrades itself to play those. So technical overview. ARM 7 TDMI 32-bit plus the Z80 coprocessor for backwards compatibility. Boot ROM 16 kilobytes. Memory map boot. Different places in the memory. Alright, so let's go right on to Nintendo DS. So then we're going to, and I think I decided to do, because I'm going to run out of games, systems, doing this. So I might go to, pick some games and maybe I can get some code, of how the games are coded or something. Something fun like that. I don't know, I haven't figured it out yet. Nintendo Boot Press, DS. And then once we get the DS's, there's like a million different versions of it. Right? How many different? I have an XL, really cool XL. It's got Zelda on it, but the top screen, it's the 3D XL. But the top screen's broken. And there is another nightmare. The top screen of any DS to try to replace that screen is there's a curly cable inside there that you can uncurl and curl it back in. That's a nightmare. So I just have it listed. All right, so now we're on to DS. The system powers on ARM processor, ARM 9 and ARM 7 on those. The ARM 9 and ARM 7 processor are different, each handling different tasks. ARM 9 handles the 3D graphics, game logic, and primary OS. ARM 7 handles audio, 2D graphics, and legacy Game Boy Advance functionality. So it's backwards compatible, and I assume it's backwards compatible for Game Boy as well. So the system enters DS firmware menu, interaction with Pico Chat and DS Downplay, which I'm not sure anybody ever used those, but backwards compatibility, Game Boy Advanced cartridge inserted slot. The system reconfigures to Game Boy mode, Game Boy Advance mode. But it also could play Game Boy itself. The DS can run Game Boy, GBA games using the secondary cartridge slot 2. Only one screen is active, and DS specific hardware features are disabled. So you only get one screen. So technical overview: ARM9, 67 megahertz, primary processor ARM7, 33 megahertz, secondary processor. Boot ROM, firmware. The screens, top screen is 256x192 resolution. Bottom screen the same. Audio is handled by the ARM. All right, so let's see if we can go. So if we go to DS, so let's try this. It says, how are all the rest of the DS compared in specs? So we're gonna do boots. We'll just do it. Until the series ended. So let's see if we can get a quick spec, because I'll be sitting here all day doing all these. So we'll just say, take all the rest of the DS as you go from 2DS, 3DS, and then you go. I like the flat one. The ones that you have to flip open are a pain. It says the NDS evolved significantly from the release in 2004 to the end of line, which saw it discontinued in 2020. Nintendo 3DS family. All right, cool. Now we got the specs here. Yeah, this will work. So where we're at. I don't like to go like around 20 minutes or a little bit over, but it's all right. So we already said the original DS, ARM 9, ARM 7. 4 megabytes of RAM. Backwards compatible. So now we're going to go to the DS Lite 2006. Slimmer and lighter. Brighter screens with adjustable screen levels. Improved battery. So I would assume all the specs are the same for the CPU and stuff. And then we go to the Nintendo DSi 2008-2009. ARM 9 at 133 megahertz, doubling the speed of the DS. So the DSi was double the speed. ARM 7 was the same, 33. The RAM went up significantly, 4 times, 16 megabytes. Storage, 256. Slightly larger screen. Had a camera. Improved Wi-Fi. And then we went to the Nintendo DSi XL, which is 2009-2010. Bigger screen, pretty much, is all it's saying. Then we go to the Nintendo 3DS, which at the time nobody really liked it. It was kind of made you dizzy. So this significantly went up. Dual core ARM 11, MP core CPU, 268 megahertz per core. Single core ARM for backwards compatibility with DS. RAM is 128. Had 1 gigabyte internal storage. Interesting. I didn't know that. Top screen 3D enabled. 800 by 24 resolution. 600 by 240 per eye for 3D. Which is weird. Bottom screen was 320 by 24. By 240 rather. Had a camera. Front and back cameras. Improved Wi-Fi.
compatible. And then we go to the one I have now is the Nintendo 3DS XL 2012. Bigger screen. Battery life improved. Same hardware inside. And then we went back to the 2DS, which you could then play 3DS games on, because nobody liked the 3D feature. No 3D function, only 2D play. Identical, all the specs are identical to the 3DS, the 2DS. And then there's like different versions. Like I said, the flat one I like. I have one of those for listed too. The new Nintendo 3DS, 2014-2015. That's an ARM 11 quad core CPU at 204 megahertz, single core ARM 9 for the DS compatibilities. 256 RAM, 128 usable for games, 1 gigabyte expandable. Additional features: C-stick for enhanced controls. Built-in NFC support for Ambio. I never understood what Ambio is. Alright, so then we go to the new Nintendo 3DS XL. 2014-2015. Just a bigger screen, is what it's saying. And then, there's the new 2DS XL. Foldable clamshell design. No 3D functions. Everything else is the same. There's also, so it gives me all the rundown. The new 3DS came out in 2007. The new 2DS XL. There was a flat. There was a flat 2DS. A flat 2DS. What was that called? Nintendo released 2013 budget friendly 3DS. Wedge shaped 3D. Came out in 2013. That's the flat one. He deals with a flat 2DS. So it had the ARM 11 dual core processor, ARM 9 backwards compatibility, 128 RAM, 128 megabytes rather. Let's see if there's anything I'm missing here. Flat wedge design, unlike the clamshell design. Flat in one piece. Design's more durable, made for younger players. Because opening out those things, the hinges always break on them. All the other ones. Don't care about the 3D sisters. Casual players, for games who don't care about 3D functionality. Alright, so it compares the 2DS flat to the 3DS clamshell to the 3DS XL. Speakers, only mono speakers in the 2DS flat. Stereo and the other two. The weight was more than the 3DS. Battery life was about the same. Lower cost, 129. Higher cost, up to 199. 2DS was enabled in several themes. So there was Pokemon XY. You could get in that. Cool. So that's pretty much it. Trying to think if I can think of any more handhelds. I'm sure there is. But that's a pretty much rundown. So we went from Switch, back down to Game Boy, and then up the ladder to the end of the new 2DS. Alright, so I'm going to play around with some of that stuff. I got a box full of it, so I'll pull it out for a video in a little bit. Alright, I'll talk to you guys later.